The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is smiling face on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. Together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Thursday, November 16th, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. All of our podcasts and the complete show archive, and I mean pretty darn complete, going back to our first show in January 3rd, I believe it was, 2011, all available at buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the University of Arizona Based Center for Integrative Medicine. She is a professor of medicine, family medicine, and public health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine and is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Learn more about her on her website, victoriamazesmd.com, or you can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Well, you know, it's the holiday season. Everybody's talking about entertaining, and there'll be alcoholic beverages, adult beverages, and of course, many of the gatherings. This new survey that came out within the past week, I got to tell you, I was scratching my head after the headline, even one drink a day can increase the risk of cancer, according to the study. And that kind of, well, it does go against what I think the conventional wisdom had been, Dr. Mazes, that a drink a day perhaps was therapeutic.
Yes, it is for many a surprising message, especially because many people aren't aware of the link between drinking alcohol and the risk of cancer. So remember, this statement came from the American Society of Clinical Oncology, which represents cancer doctors. It doesn't represent heart doctors or cardiologists. And so it's very focused on the downside, and it's not at all focused on what may be the upside.
Now, the cardiologist might have a different view then, huh?
Yes. So I think it's important to break this down. This study was actually a compilation of all the evidence, and it's a position paper, essentially, by the American Society of Clinical Oncology that was published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. And basically, it showed that even light drinking increases women's risk of breast cancer, which we've known for some time, but maybe not, it's not broadly known, and also can increase the risk of esophageal cancer. And then heavy drinking increases mouth and throat cancer and cancer of the voice box and liver cancer. So the American Society of Clinical Oncology didn't say you should never drink, but it should say if you want to reduce your risk of cancer, you should drink less. So again, only focused on cancer, and we could talk about the heart in a moment.
Could you give us some of the percentages, the increased risk, were not really that great, but they're still there, right?
Well, you know, some of these cancers, like breast cancer, is a common cancer. One in eight women over the course of their lifetime is going to develop, and there's a linear relationship. So in other words, the more you drink, the more the risk is, but there's never a zero risk. It increases even at small amounts, and it was shown that a glass glass of wine a day or a beer a day, which is about 10 grams of alcohol, increases premenopausal breast cancer by 5% and postmenopausal by 9%. So not enormous increases by any means. With heavy drinking, then there was a much more significant increase, you know, five times the risk of mouth and throat cancer if you're a heavy drinker. So that's 500% as opposed to the 5% increase in women with breast cancer. So you're right, it's not an enormous increase, but, you know, it is worth knowing, and especially if you're at increased risk because breast cancer runs in your family or you have the breast cancer gene, you know, this is something that you may want to know about. On the other hand, alcohol and drinking alcohol can be protective of the heart in a number of ways. It raises the HDL or the good kind of cholesterol, so that's good. We all want higher HDLs. It thins the blood a little. It's a little bit of a blood thinner, and so it helps stop blood from clotting, which can reduce the risk of a heart attack. That's good. It also means, you know, if you fall, you could bleed more easily. So that's good as well, you know, for one and not as good for the other. And then it can reduce the risk of the high LDL, which is the bad kind of cholesterol. So it does appear to be helpful. Men have a benefit from one drink a day. Women actually get the same benefit from just one drink a week. So if you want to be heart healthy and you're a woman, you only actually need one drink a week to get that benefit.
And we had a question from one of our Facebook followers at Bill Buckmaster, and it's a good question. What about the difference between beer, wine, or a hard liquor?
It's a great question because, you know, we often hear about the benefit of red wine and the pigments in red wine that have these particular phytochemicals that are thought to be protective. There's a ingredient in red wine called resveratrol that seems to be particularly protective. But this benefit of alcohol for the heart comes from any kind of alcohol. So that's usually defined as a 12-ounce beer, 4 ounces of wine, or 1.5 ounces of 80-proof spirits. So it comes from any kind of alcohol to raise the HDL, to thin the blood, and not just from, for example, red wine.
And again, the wine connoisseurs will point to the fact that there are these therapeutic effects of, in fact, people actually take supplements that kind of mimic what is in red wine, I believe. And the name of that supplement kind
of resveratrol.
Thank you. Yes. Slips my mind right now. But people take this for heart health.
Right. So resveratrol is a very interesting supplement, and it appears to have some of the same effect as caloric restriction in terms of having almost an anti-aging effect, increases longevity in certain kinds of animals where it's been studied. But the dose of the supplement would have to be so high, it's not really practical. And so it's a fascinating supplement, but I'm not sure that people can take enough of it to really confer the benefit that they're hoping to get.
Let's talk a little bit about women who are pregnant. You have written about giving birth to a healthy child. What about women and pregnancy and alcohol?
Well, that's one of the places where we essentially say don't drink. I mean, we're very clear that during pregnancy, it's just not a good idea. We are concerned about the effect of the alcohol on the developing central nervous system of the baby. You know, alcohol actually is handled differently by men and women. We metabolize it differently, and it tends to last longer in women's bodies than men, and that's why, you know, those who are really concerned about having too high a blood alcohol level if they go out and have a drink, you know, it's usually recommended that women keep theirs to less than one and wait a while between drinking that alcoholic beverage and driving, whereas men may be able to drink up to two. Now, again, everybody's a little different, and as we age, we don't metabolize alcohol as efficiently, and that's just very important to be aware of so you don't drive impaired.
And women who are pregnant and do drink run a risk of all sorts of things, don't they?
Yes, it definitely is seen as posing a risk to the fetus and is advised against by everybody.
I also had another question about women who smoke and are pregnant. Well, can you comment on that briefly?
Yeah, so smoking also clearly recommended against all the time. You know, you can get some potential benefit from drinking alcohol, either just a little bit or maybe up to moderately. There's no health benefit from smoking. Smoking increases our risk of multiple kinds of cancers. If we smoke and drink, it can be a synergistic increased risk of certain kinds of cancers. And for women who smoke during pregnancy, it ages their placenta, which is really the part of the body that's responsible for nourishing the baby. And so the baby can have stunted growth. It can have preterm birth. There are many, many downsides to smoking during pregnancy.
All right. Before we then take the break and leave this topic about drinking, what is kind of, as far as you're concerned, Dr. Mazes, what is the takeaway message?
Well, I think the takeaway message is that alcohol increases the risk of cancer a little bit, and that people should be aware of that. If they don't care for alcohol, they probably shouldn't drink. And if they do enjoy alcohol, for women, it's probably best not to drink daily. And for men, it's best to keep alcohol at one and, you know, very rarely two a day.
All right, we'll take our break right here, 790-2040, if you'd like to join the conversation. We'll talk with Victoria Mazes of the Center for Integrative Medicine more right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. The Friday Roundtable features Dan Shearer of the Green Valley News and Jim Nintzel of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell has Weekend Watch Buckmaster noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI with our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Hard to believe. 1 week from today, Thanksgiving 2017 in America. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us for her monthly visit to our program, and we're honored to have her as our contributor on health to the Buckmaster Show. She's the executive director of the University of Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine. Dr. Mazes, the time of gratitude. I've said this in our past visits that my favorite holiday really is Thanksgiving. There's not that big emphasis about gift giving. The real gift is oneself and giving gratitude.
Yes, Thanksgiving is obviously all about giving thanks. It's in the name of the holiday, about appreciating and feeling grateful and for expressing those feelings.
How do we keep gratitude a part of our lives, not just this time of year, but really every day?
Well, some people do that by developing a form of a gratitude practice, and there's many, many, many different ways you can do that. I tweeted earlier today that there's a gratitude app. It's free, and it prompts you to think about different reasons why you're grateful and to write them down. Writing them down in the studies appears to have a power of their own. Today, the question on the app is, what made you laugh today? Laughter often being something we feel grateful for.
And keeping a diary, right? That's part of it?
Absolutely. So people can keep a gratitude journal. In the studies, it's suggested that you do this for 3 full weeks and that each day you write 3 novel things. In other words, you don't repeat. Now, sometimes we feel grateful for exactly the same thing. For example, I'm a new grandmother, and I feel very grateful for my adorable little grandson, and that just keeps coming up. But in this gratitude journal, if I was following it as it was done in the research, I would put that down on day 1, and then days 2 through 21, I would come up with other things that I was feeling grateful for.
How about positive attitude and health?
Well, gratitude and feeling that sense of appreciation has many positive benefits in terms of our health. That's really, really a fabulous thing. For example, it improves sleep. Who would know that? When we're going to bed, we think about some of the things we're grateful for. It helps elicit the relaxation response, which helps us get quieter and more centered and less agitated, and it makes it easier for us to fall asleep. It increases our self-esteem, which is good for all of us. It makes us more optimistic, and optimism makes us happier and improves our health and actually is associated with a longer life by a few years. It is something that just has so many benefits. When the studies show 16% fewer physical symptoms, 10% less physical pain, 8% more sleep, 25% increased sleep quality. So many, many benefits of practicing gratitude.
All right. We do have a caller, and we'll take that question. It's a little bit off our topic of gratitude, but it is a topic that's A lot of this time of year, people do take antibiotics because we've got a lot of bugs out there. But Roberta, go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Are all antibiotics made from mold?
No, antibiotics can be made from different things. I think that the use of antibiotics, they may be overused at times. We sometimes use them for viruses. They're only antibacterial, so we want to be careful about that. We do have antiviral and antifungal medicines. Those are different categories. And when we take an antibiotic, we might consider taking at the same time a probiotic so that we are helping to nourish the microbiome, the healthy bacteria that are normally in the intestinal tract and can be wiped out by taking an antibiotic.
And a lot of people do take probiotics to kind of ward off, especially this time of year with a lot of illness that develops in the winter. I think it is very therapeutic, don't you?
It can be. There is evidence that taking a probiotic, for example, when we send our children to daycare and they're young and they don't have a lot of history of having had many kinds of infections, so they get a lot of colds. And when you give that child a probiotic, it actually reduces the number of colds that baby or child will get.
Getting back to our topic on gratitude and really kind of a positive outlook, I was thinking about folks who are know they're going to have to undergo surgery, an elective surgery, hopefully. There are some image guiding that I wanted to bring up with our listeners. Could you address that briefly?
Sure. So surgery can be stressful, and there are a variety of ways to prepare for it, and one of them is, as you mentioned, guided imagery. Guided imagery is a creative way of visualizing the best possible outcome. And there are CDs and other ways of downloading these audio messages that have been very carefully created by people with a lot of experience. One is Belruth Napperstack, who has a website called Health Journeys. Another is Steve Gergovich, who has a website called Transformation. And both of them have really lovely tools that people can use before their surgery. I think that those are important things that people can do and cost next to nothing and help reduce the stress. And some studies show actually reduce the postoperative pain and enhance their speed of recovery.
When we think about Thanksgiving, of course, we do think about the gratitude. And as I mentioned, it'd be nice to kind of carry that through 365 days a year. And there are so many negative influences out there right now. And many people want to take a break sometimes, even from the news or social media, because they're just being bombarded with bad news. How important is it kind of to maybe clear your mind for a while?
Well, I think there's a lot of benefit to clearing the mind. One of the ways people do that is with a meditation practice where the goal is to quiet the mind and not have it jumping around from thought to thought to thought, which is, you know, the mind is so good at, and instead to just kind of be one-pointed. So focus on your breath or focus on a phrase like compassion or gratitude. Some people will focus on a prayer from whatever their religious tradition is, and that can be very centering and very helpful in these stressful times.
I think you have a lot to be, you mentioned the grandchild, certainly that's a lot to be thankful for and this Thanksgiving. But also, the Center for Integrative Medicine has had a very good year, hasn't it?
Yes, we've had many wonderful accomplishments this year. And of course, I'm a fortunate person in that I get a great sense of meaning from my work. And so I'm always grateful to have the work at the Center for Integrative Medicine and at the University of Arizona. And every now and then I'll hear from one of the graduates of our program who tells us about the impact this training has had in their lives and the lives of their patients, and that makes me feel very grateful. But, you know, gratitude can be small things, too. You know, we can feel grateful that the weather right now is just so spectacularly beautiful. You know, we could feel grateful for spending time in a park with our children. I mean, it's just once you start looking for it, it can be anywhere. The idea is it doesn't have to be super big things, you know, a promotion or, you know, finding your dream house or something like that. It can be very small things that affect your state of mind and make your life more enjoyable and richer.
I try to do my gratitude my first waking moment of the day, and I believe that's a good time. At least it is for me. Others might find going right before you go to bed. But when I first wake up in the morning, I like to do my gratitude, and it seems to work.
Yes, there was a practice in a movie that I saw some time ago that was called I Create My Day. And it was in a movie called What the Bleep Do We Know? And one of the physicians in that movie said he wakes up in the morning and he consciously creates his day in the way he wants it to happen. And so, you know, when you begin your day expressing gratitude, you're doing that. You're consciously creating a day in which you're going to notice the things. And you start by noticing the things that you feel grateful for.
Dr. Victoria Mays, is always a pleasure. We're very much in your gratitude, and we thank you very much for being a supporter of our program through the years. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving.
And you as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
Good morning to Jeff Herndon. He is the owner of Benhance Openings in the Marana area, 3950 West Costco Drive. So it's windows, doors, and more. What's the more part?
Well, we do replacement skylights with technology in the glass, that's heat reflective glass. We also do garage doors, entry doors, steel security doors.
Right.
We cover all the openings that would come into your home.
So check it out. You can go to enhanceopenings.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The holidays are coming a week from today, Thanksgiving. Make your holiday table special with a beautiful poinsettia from Green Things. Thousands and thousands of them are ready. Greenhouse after greenhouse full of them. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Maybe stop by this weekend and pick up your poinsettia. Green Things is your poinsettia headquarters for the holiday. Joining me on the live line, John Huco, Mr. Huco, General Secretary for Rotary International, based in Evanston, Illinois. Rotary brings together more than 1.2 million professional and community leaders to carry out very impactful service projects at home and abroad, including tackling Rotary's top philanthropic goal, that is the eradication of polio. Not only is John the head of a major international service organization, he's also an avid cyclist, and he's in Tucson to participate in the Tucson Medical Center El Tour de Tucson on Saturday. John and a lot of other folks will be embarking on the 106-mile ride. There'll be over 100 other members of Rotary in the ride to end polio. John, how are you, sir?
Good, Bill. Thanks for having me on your show.
Are you excited about Saturday?
I'm very excited. This is my sixth El Tour, and I love coming out here. It's a phenomenal ride, and we get to raise a lot of money for polio eradication.
And the ride to end polio locally, the first kind of organized year was 2009. Since then, John, you and the members have raised some serious money, haven't you?
We have. It really started with the local Rotarians here in Tucson in 2009, as you said, Bill, using El Tour as a vehicle to raise money for polio. And in 2012, serendipity kicked in. I was in Bangkok for our annual convention. We had our convention that year was in Bangkok, and I was on a water taxi, and happened to be a group of Rotarians from Tucson on the taxi. And they started telling me about El Tour and how they were raising money for polio, and they said, "You love cycling. Can you come out and help us raise more money?" And I did, and the thing has really grown exponentially. And the Rotary riders in El Tour since 2009 have raised over $35 million for polio eradication. So it's been a phenomenal effort by the local Rotarians here and, frankly, by Rotarians all over the world who support the Rotary riders in El Tour.
How about polio? Is it raising its ugly head around the world?
Well, we're actually very, very close to eradicating this disease. You know, back in 1985, Rotary, a nonprofit, not a government agency, not a Ministry of Health or a multilateral institution, really had the audacity, and Bill, I think that's the right word, the audacity to say we are going to eradicate a disease from the face of the earth. And at that time, only one other human disease had ever been eradicated, and that was smallpox in 1979. We had 350,000 cases of polio per year, and it was present at that time. It was present in 125 countries. And today, through the efforts of Rotary and our partners in the effort, who are CDC and Atlanta World Health Organization, UNICEF, and about 10 years ago, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation joined the effort, that partnership has now brought the world to be very, very close to eradicating this disease. This year, we've had 15 cases worldwide. That's it. And so we've really gone from 350,000 a year to just 15. But we still need to keep vaccinating the whole world. And we really can't stop until we have zero cases.
Those numbers are just amazing. And I think that of those cases of the 14 or 15, a couple of them were in Pakistan and the rest in Afghanistan. You know, growing up, certainly I grew up on the North Shore of Chicago, and the big fear was polio. And it's so hard to believe that in my lifetime we have gone from a very, very scary situation to almost this total eradication. It is amazing.
It really is, and I think the polio eradication effort probably represents the most successful and impressive public-private partnership in global health history. And I think there's a number of additional benefits to eradicating disease. Of course, the obvious one is that no human, no child will ever again have to face that terrible fear that you and I felt growing up as kids. But also, it really sets the stage for the next big initiative. If we can succeed with polio, we can demonstrate to the world that it is possible to do. And so, polio, we need to get the job done, not only to provide this gift to the children of the world for as long as mankind lives on Earth, but also to set the stage for the next big initiative, whatever that might be. And for me as a Rotarian, as a General Secretary of Rotary, I can't tell you the pride it gives me to know that our organization really kicked off an effort which will make the world a better place for as long as mankind is around.
We're speaking with John Hucco, the General Secretary for Rotary International, based in my neck of the woods where I grew up, North Shore of Chicago. Rotary is based in Evanston. My own heritage, my grandfather was president of Rotary One in Chicago back in, it must have been the 1920s or something. But how is Rotary doing?
We're doing very well. We have, as you mentioned in the lead into your show, we have about 1.2 million members in over 200 geographic locations around the world. 70% of our Rotarians are now outside the United States, so we're experiencing very significant and impressive growth in the emerging markets. Rotary in some ways was the original LinkedIn. It was founded back in 1905 in Chicago, and it was really designed to bring community leaders together to both network professionally, but also to do good in their community, sort of intersection between commerce and cause. So you join a Rotary Club both to meet great people and have a great time and network professionally, but also to do good works, whether it be those good works are in your local community, whether they're regional, or whether they're international. Our Rotary Clubs, we have 35,000 clubs around the world, are involved not just in polio, it's literacy, it's health, maternal and child health, disease prevention, treatment, community development. Rotary Clubs are involved in a myriad of activities. We're one of the largest student exchange programs in the world. So it's an extraordinary international platform that really is making the world a better place. And, of course, we've got great Rotarians here in Arizona, almost 4,000. We've got 19 excellent Rotary Clubs here in Tucson. So if your listeners are interested in joining an organization where you can both have a great time, network professionally, but also do some extraordinary good work, whether it be locally, regionally, or internationally. Rotary is really, give us, check it out. I think they'd enjoy it.
They've done a great job with their annual car show, the Rotary here in Tucson. Their October car show raises money. Literacy, you mentioned, was an effort that they've been involved in. So a lot of good things going on. Now, you've been this avid cyclist. What do you do there in Chicago in the wintertime with your bicycle? Or do you try to visit some of the Rotaries in the sunnier places?
Well, that's a good question. You know, as you know, Bill, October, November in Chicago is not exactly bike-year friendly in terms of weather, but it's you do what you can. This fall was quite mild, so I was able to get on the road quite a bit where we normally would not. And you do a lot of indoor riding, which, of course, is not the most exciting thing, but you do what you have to do. And, again, as you're doing it, it's all for a good cause. It's all for raising money for polio and for really providing a gift to the children of the world. But, yeah, you guys are lucky here in Tucson. I'm very jealous.
We were the warmest. This week, certainly, we're the hottest place in the country with almost 90 degrees. I mean, come on. All right, John Huco, thank you very much. Rotary General Secretary, good luck with the team. More than 100 of you tomorrow at the L Tour. Want to wish you the best of luck and congratulations on the ride to end polio. It's certainly a worthy cause. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Take care.
The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This week is Valley Fever Awareness Week, as proclaimed by the Governor, Doug Ducey. With me in studio, Dr. John Galgiani. Dr. Galgiani is the founding director of the UA-based Valley Fever Center for Excellence. He's also the current director. And before we join and talk with Dr. Galgiani, I do want to mention that one of our fine sponsors is Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which makes a great weekend getaway, or even longer. It's just 3 hours from Tucson, and this time of year, it's perfect. We've been hitting about 90. Over there, it'd be in the mid-70s, usually about 15 degrees cooler, but a great time of year with all the autumn foliage turning up in the high country. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Galgiani, good to see you. You've been over to that part of the world, haven't you?
Oh, yes. Silver City. It's very, very pretty.
It is very pretty. Yeah, and the elevation is higher. Is that a factor with Valley Fever?
Well, it turns out it is.
Good segue.
You did it very nicely,
Thank
Bill.
You.
You're always right
I
on
mean,
target.
Silver City is about anywhere from 5 to 7,000 feet. So you've got Tucson's about 2,500. Phoenix and the metropolitan area of Maricopa County, about 1,500 feet. What are the differences in elevation correlation with Valley Fever?
Well, we don't really know, but it's a fact. For instance, Sierra Vista is pretty much out of the Valley Fever area, even though people from Sierra Vista travel back here and they certainly can get infected here.
And it's about 4,000 feet.
Right. Yeah. And it's really around here, it's the Sonoran Desert environment. And so if you climb out of Phoenix on I-19, you're immediately out of the area. And it's something to do with the fungus and what it likes to live in the dirt, because it's a soil dweller. And we only get infected if the spores get in the air and we inhale one of them.
Valley Fever is a huge problem. Cases have been up in California, pretty much level here in Arizona. But one of your big issues, Dr. Galgiani, and I've been talking to you for years, is that 2/3 of the respiratory infections identified annually occurring between Tucson and Phoenix are misidentified.
That's right.
Misdiagnosed, which means delaying, and that's a big issue.
That's right. The doctors who now practice in the Arizona area, Phoenix, Tucson, which that's the population centers for the state, the vast majority of them actually trained outside of Arizona. So they practiced where Valley Fever was a rare disease. When they come here, they really hadn't trained with that. So they're looking at patients who come in with community-acquired pneumonia and say, oh, you need an antibacterial drug. And if that doesn't work, we'll give you a second one. And if that doesn't work, we'll get you in the hospital and give you some high dose. And that story plays out over and over again, when in fact, what happens in 1 out of 3 of those people, it's caused by a fungus, the Valley Fever fungus. And there's a delay of 30% have a delay of at least 1 month. And so far, the data that we've collected suggests that that's probably over $1.5 million of medical costs just before the right diagnosis is made, never mind after the diagnosis is made. It's during the delay, because all those healthcare utilizations aren't really treating what the patient really has.
So why in the world is Valley Fever not on the radar screen of these practitioners? I mean, if I were a patient and I was taking these antibiotics needlessly, I would be upset, because if you're taking antibiotics and you don't need to, that's not good for you.
Right. And it doesn't help. And I think it's a combination of things. I've mentioned one, that many of the physicians train elsewhere where they've never heard of Valley Fever. Now they're here. Another thing is that actually public awareness of this disease really could change things in terms of whether or not they get an early diagnosis. It turns out there's Department of Health data which shows that people who know about Valley fever, when they come to their doctor and are sick with this infection, get a diagnosis faster than those people who never heard of Valley fever before they get sick. And it's because they ask their doctor, do you think I have Valley
fever?
They
put it on the radar screen.
And after a while, doctors respond to the patients, what they expect from their doctors. And that helps with the training both ways.
Do you need to worry about Valley fever if you've been in Tucson for a long time?
Yeah, it's a every year risk, and the risk accumulates over time. But frankly, I've had patients in their 70s who have lived here all their life who finally come down with their first infection with Valley fever.
And what do they present with? Is it similar to pneumonia?
In that particular patient, he had the more complicated form where it had gone through the bloodstream to other parts of his body. Mm. And we took care of him. And that's part of the complications that we have to identify early in the patients who fortunately are the minor proportion, but they are very complicated. In that regard, let me just say, you were just talking about polio just a moment
right,
ago.
Right, yeah.
And that's a great story about the potential eradication. If you run the numbers, the impact of polio on the population at risk is exactly the same as the impact of Valley fever on its population at risk. The only difference is that the population at risk is in a very constrained area here in Arizona, parts of California, Texas, and New Mexico. It's not a worldwide problem like polio. But for the people who live here, it's every bit the same impact as the disease of polio was worldwide.
Are we going to get a vaccine for preventing Valley fever?
We hope so. We actually have a vaccine candidate. We just 3 months ago got an award from the NIH to actually produce that vaccine and make it available for dogs, because they have they have three times the rate of getting Valley fever, maybe because their snout is down close to the dirt as people do. And the idea is that if we could show that the vaccine prevents Valley fever in dogs, it would increase the enthusiasm for taking the next step so we could have it for humans as well.
How long will that take to get that vaccine?
Well, the dogs, I think we can pretty reasonably hope that it will be ready for dog use in 4 to 5 years.
That is very good news.
And that's exciting.
Yeah.
We have a path to get there. Taking the next step to humans is a bigger jump. And it'll depend on the awareness and the demand from people to have a vaccine for our part of the world.
And again, what should someone be on the lookout for if you come down? I mean, what would be the symptoms of Valley fever?
Well, most people get a pneumonia or a respiratory illness.
They have trouble breathing?
Shortness of breath, chest pain, cough. The name Valley fever suggests fever is often an accompaniment. And you feel lousy. It's very famous for just an amount of fatigue that you've never experienced before. It's sort of like mononucleosis.
Right. Mono. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Except more so. We have data from the Campus Health that twice as many kids come down with mono every year as come down with Valley fever. Yeah. But Valley fever caused kids to drop out for a semester twice as often as for mono.
I hated mono. That was horrible. I could hardly get out of bed for
right.
weeks. So now you go to a doctor and the doctor doesn't suggest Valley fever as a possible cause, but you as the patient suggest it could be. What is then the protocol? You're tested, and then what if you do get it, how are you treated?
Well, if you get the diagnosis, then the decision is your immune system controlling it on its own, in which case you might not need to be treated at all, and you can stop doing all the other things you'd be doing because you don't have the right diagnosis. But in those patients that need treatment, we treat it typically with an oral drug, most frequently fluconazole, which is an antifungal drug, and that's given for 3 to 6 months.
Is it effective?
Pneumonia. It is effective, but we actually don't know how effective it is for the most common form. We certainly know it works in people who get meningitis or bone infections or some of the other complicated forms of Valley fever. That's very clear. But whether or not to treat somebody with this early pneumonia, whether it adds to what your immune system already does for most people, that's actually being studied right now. We're part of that study that the NIH is conducting, randomizing people to placebo versus the fluconazole therapy.
So in some cases, no treatment might be best.
That's exactly right. Mm. And it turns out we do know that the treatment changes the natural history. So people who get treated for the primary infection actually need to kind of be followed for more years. In general, the complications untreated tend to occur in the first weeks to months. However, we now know that people who get the treatment sometimes can go years before they have the complications finally show themselves.
So, Dr. Galgiani, is anybody else doing the kind of research that's being done at the University of Arizona on this?
There are people, and we try to collaborate with all of them. But the University of Arizona is the prime major research university in the endemic region. And now with two campuses, two colleges of medicine, one here, one in Phoenix, this is the reason we started the Valley Fever Center for Excellence, is to get an institutional commitment to do something about this disease.
All right. Dr. Galgiani, thank you very much for what you're doing at the University of Arizona with the UA-based Valley Fever Center for Excellence. Great update. Thanks a lot for being
with
us.
Nice to talk to you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon, Mike Check with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5, Wake Up Tucson tomorrow morning. Then me, Buckmaster, will have Chuck Huckleberry, our Friday Focus interview on behalf of Ray Allen. Have a great afternoon. Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Viro Mori, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Mori on the web at viroamori.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.